الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. وعن عبد الله بن عمرو رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: المسلم من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده، والمهاجر من هجر عما نهى الله عنه. وعن أبي موسى الأشعري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قالوا يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، أي الإسلام أفضل؟ قال: من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده. رواهما البخاري في كتاب الإيمان. آمنت بالله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My most respected ulama ikram, elders and brothers, sisters who may be listening over receivers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives us a unique opportunity on a Jum'ah occasion to discuss and listen to some aspects with regards to our spirituality. In other words, some aspects with regards to our objective and purpose in life. And the objective of us listening to this is to practice, to implement, to imbibe, and then to move forward in as far as our spirituality is concerned. If we are not moving forward, then in actual effect, we are not doing work. And it reminds me of a formula that we did once in physics in school. And the teacher told us that work is equal to force times distance. So if you apply a force and you move a distance, then you have done work. Because if you apply a force of 1,000,000 and you don't move forward any distance, then the answer is zero. Work is equal to force times distance. Isn't that correct? So we need to introspect, look into our hearts and our lives regarding two aspects. One is, how much force are we applying? And number two, how much distance are we moving? I remember Hazrat Khaja Aziz al-Hasan Majzub rahmatullah alayhi says that jahan mein hai ibrat ke har su namune. Wherever you look around, whatever you see around, there are lessons for us to take. And therefore there is a lesson for us to take even from the formulas of physics and science in terms of our spirituality. So the purpose and the objective of all of these programs, these Jummah sermons that we attend, that we deliver, and every other thing around us is for us to move forward in as far as our spirituality is concerned. And therefore, the prime objective, the purpose behind all of this should be to implement, to do what we are asked to do by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because if we are not going to do that, we are not going to move forward and we are not going to be achieving anything then. Kamyabi to kaam se banti hai. Success is acquired with actions. Success is acquired with actions. And to the extent we are going to strive, to that extent we are going to see the rewards for that. And that's a universal, something that is universally accepted. Don't they say in English, as you sow, so shall you reap? In Arabic, al-mushahada biqadr al-mujahada. In Urdu, jitni tumhari qurbani, utni khuda ki meherbani. The same thing is repeated, and in all languages of the world, I'm sure there must be something to that effect. That to the extent we are going to make an effort, to that extent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bless us with His mercy and with His kindness and with His closeness and His proximity, which in effect and actually is the purpose and objective of our very existence. For today's Jummah discussion, I thought of discussing two ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And both these ahadith are very similar in words. They have the similar sort of words and they convey the same meaning. But they are so profound in meaning that they affect every aspect of our lives, and perhaps they indicate towards the greatest sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the first hadith, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates, and he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Muslim. He said a Muslim, he gave a definition. He defined who a Muslim is. And he said, Al-Muslim, man salim al-Muslimun min lisanihi wa yadi. A Muslim is one whom others are at peace with him. Others are not harmed by the actions that emanate from his hands or the words that emanate from his tongue. That is a Muslim. Others are safe from him. Others do not go through any sort of inconvenience because of the utterances of his tongue or the actions of his body. That is who a Muslim is. In another hadith, Hazrat Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates and he says that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum once asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, Ya Rasulullah, ayyul islami afdal? Which form of Islam is the best, is the most virtuous, is the greatest in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could very well have said, the one who stays up at night and fasts during the day. He could have very well said, the one who goes out striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He could have very well have said, the one who makes it for the first saf in the masjid, and I'm not trivializing any of these things. All of them are important and great virtues have been mentioned of each and every one of them. But on this occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when he was asked about which form of Islam is the best, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said, Man salim al-Muslimun min lisanihi wa yadi. The best form of Islam is that where no person is ever harmed by the utterances of a person's tongue or the actions that emanate from a person's body. This is the best form of Islam. If you have to analyze these two ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they are very much discussing a person's interaction with fellow human beings. are discussing akhlaq and character. And that is perhaps the greatest sunnah which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left behind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, he says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, that you are on the highest pedestal of sublime character. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam himself said that, بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, the sum total of my mission is that I must ensure that sublime character prevails. Good character, good akhlaq, good interaction with people, that is what must prevail. In some ahadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that a person achieves with good character, good akhlaq, the stages which even a person who fasts during the day and prays during the night is unable to achieve. A person who fasts during the day and every day and prays during the night and every night, a person can achieve with good character stages higher than that. Good akhlaq, good character. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Nawas ibn Sam'an radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, and he says that I asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about piety and sin. I asked him about two qualities. What is piety? I asked him. And I asked him, what is sin? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when I asked him, what is piety? He said, piety is husnul khuluq. It is good character. Piety is good character. And when I asked him about what is sin, he said, al-ithmu ma haaka fi sadrik wa karihta an yattali'a alayhi an-nas. He said that sin is that which pricks your conscience and you dislike that people should ever come to know about it. What a easy formula to work out whether we are on the right track or not on the right track. So nevertheless, this these two ahadith which we discussed and in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that al-muslimu man sallim al-muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi, they indicate towards this good character that a person should be having. Akhlaq and character. If we analyze our lives, then we would see that we have different interactions with at different levels, with people, with human beings. There is the interaction that is there between a husband and wife, and the wife and her husband. There is an interaction that happens between parents and children, and children and parents. There is an interaction that happens between siblings, brothers and sisters, or brothers and brothers, sisters and sisters. There is an interaction that happens between employer and employee. An interaction that happens between colleagues at work. An interaction that happens between neighbors and different levels of neighbors. Sometimes it is the person staying next door to us. Sometimes it's the person just performing salah next to us. And sometimes it might be the person who is standing in the bus, sitting in the vehicle that we are sharing to travel from one place to another. Sometimes it's the interaction between a person who is parking next to our vehicle. And in all of these interactions, and sometimes it is an interaction with someone who may not even be of the same faith as ours. He may not be of the same faith as ours as well. And we need to make sure as Muslims that nothing emanates from the utterances that we make and nothing emanates from the actions of our hand that causes any sort of harm, takleef, pain that comes across as being inconsiderate, intolerant, that comes across as being uncouth, that comes across as being rude to any person. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that this person is of the best of Islam. His Islam is the best. And this is what I would like all of us to introspect and to look into. That is it that anyone is being harmed by the utterances of our tongue or by the things we do with our hands and our body? Many a times in the relationship between husband and wife, for example, it is a close bond, a very close relationship. But, and because it is a close bond and relationship, we need to be careful that we are not causing any harm and takleef to our wives. And the same vice versa. Because sometimes it happens the other way around as well. I had an incident where a husband came to the office and he was big in size and yet he was shivering and he said that, Maulana, I'm very scared of her. So this also happens. So I said, why? He said, because she hits me. So that also happens. And it's important to clarify this because people complain sometimes to say that, Maulana, you don't speak about anything that the wives do. You only speak about what the husbands do against the wives. So there are instances. But the idea, when we listen to a lecture of deen, then everything is directed towards us. Unfortunately, we many times, we walk out of the masjid and we will go and tell our wives or our friends that, you know what, Maulana spoke, the whole bayan was about you today. Whereas, the whole bayan was about me. That is what it should be. The whole bayan is supposed to be directed to ourselves so that we can introspect, improve, move forward and do work. Because when we move forward, we are going to be doing work as explained in the beginning of today's Jummah discussion. So many a times that interaction is so close that we fail to realize that the tone in which we say something absolutely tears the heart of our very own spouse. And it causes irreparable damage then. Just the tone in which we might have mentioned something, said something. Whereas we would dare use that sort of tone with our friends and colleagues at work. So why is that? Haven't we caused harm then? Haven't we caused pain to, let alone a fellow Muslim, the closest in our family relationships? Haven't we caused pain to them? So then, where is our Islam when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Al-Muslimun, Al-Muslim, man salim al-Muslimun min lisanihi wa yadi. Many a times we give time to people that you can see me at a certain time. You make an appointment. And we fail to adhere to those commitments. Haven't we caused pain, harm, injury to another person? Because Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, before he was commissioned as a Nabi, in other words, before the age of 40, before he was blessed with prophethood, on one occasion he agreed with a person that he's going to meet him at a certain place in Makkah. And that person forgot about it Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam stayed in that place for 3 days. When the person passed by, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, all he said to him was, "You made me tired, brother. You made me tired, brother. You made me wait for you here for 3 days because I was not going to move from here because I gave you a commitment that I'm going to be here." This is akhlaq and character. And when he came there after 3 days, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not vulgar with him. He was not harsh and hard with him. This is akhlaq and character. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْ فَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكِ. Had you been harsh and hard-hearted, then people would have dispersed. They would have not have stayed around you. These are how Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam handled different situations. On one occasion, a wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent a sweet dish for him on the occasion when it was his turn at another wife's place. So that wife was upset that why is she sending something when it's my turn? Natural. So she took that dish and she threw it on the ground and she broke it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam could have got all heated up, angry. Why you had to break it? What was all this about? He just said that her self-respect has overtaken her today and he arranged for it to be cleaned and that dish to be replaced. Look at akhlaq and how you handle situations. A Bedouin comes into the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Imagine the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rawdatum min riyad al-jannah, a garden from amongst the gardens of paradise. He walks into that masjid. He feels the urge to pass urine. There and then he goes into one corner and he starts passing urine. The blood is boiling. Sahaba. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam noticed it. He said to them, "Just leave it out. Just let him finish." And after he finished, he explained to him that these are the masajid of Allah subhanahu, the homes of Allah. It is not appropriate that we do things like this. But he didn't blow his top off. He didn't get angry. He didn't do all of that. He arranged for the place to be clean and he explained to him how, what was to be done. Sometimes in the manner in which we convey something to our children, it just makes them, or how we interact with the other children. All of this is akhlaq and character. Recently, maybe 3 or 4 weeks back, there was an incident in which a Muslim girl in one of the non-Muslim countries, she committed suicide. She hanged herself from a fan. And she left a note to say to her parents to say that since you love my brother more than me, so hereafter you don't have to worry. I won't be anymore. And she committed suicide. Just the manner in which we interact with our children. We might have favored one over the other and that caused the other person some sort of pain in their heart. So aren't we then causing pain to others by all of these actions? This is what I'm saying we need to introspect and work towards. Sometimes that pain is caused by turning into our driveway and not realizing that there's a pedestrian on the road. What was it if we just waited on the road for a little while and allowed that pedestrian to pass and then turned into our driveways? Aren't we causing pain and harm to people? And then Maulana Yunus Patel Saab, how many times he used to say, be considerate with regards to our parking, and I don't think we need to get into that even. But we need to. All this is part of Deen and Islam. It's not just normal etiquette, general etiquette. It's very much part of the teachings of Islam. So whereas we give a lot of importance to the lengths of our beards or to the size of our kurta and our pants, and all of that is important, perhaps the greatest sunnah which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam left for us and which he wants to see in every one of his ummatis is good akhlaq and character. And he wants to see that we are considerate human beings, that we don't harm and cause pain to anyone. In fact, in one hadith, and I'll terminate on that, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said that ahabbukum ilayya, inna min ahabbikum alay ilayya ahsanakum khuluqa. That the most beloved of you to me, you know, can you imagine that to be the most beloved of all the creation to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one who is good in akhlaq and good in character. He interacts correctly with people. He does not cause anyone any sort of pain, grief, difficulty. He's considerate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to imbibe these qualities within our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove the problems, the difficulties, the calamities that the ummah is suffering in all parts of the world, especially in Syria, in Ghouta, in other parts of the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease the difficulty. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to send whatever sort of assistance we can for them. And at least Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to raise our hands and shed some tears for our Muslim brothers and sisters in other parts of the world. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.